Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globe Trotting program. Alhamdulillah, today we're talking Malaysia. We have representatives from the Malaysian Embassy, Malaysia Tourism, and we're talking Malaysia today. We also have Henda, who's, we've done a trip together to Malaysia, and also who's just come back from Georgia, so we're going to be talking a little about Georgia. We do have extended time today, alhamdulillah, with the generosity of Radio Islam. Alhamdulillah, we've got extra time today, shukar alhamdulillah. And we'd like to say jazakallah to Hafiz Hanzala for sitting on the board, and jazakallah to Mohammed Ben Rawat, who's just left us now. And inshallah, our lines will be open. Hafiz Hanzala is going to be manning the desk on 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, our SMS line, 072-786-5520. We do have some items to give away also. We'll check how we'll give away from Malaysia Tourism. They do give lovely things. In fact, last year when we had them, before Ramadan last year, they gave us some flasks, they gave us wall clocks, they gave us prize sets, they gave us a lot of things last year, alhamdulillah. And they, with their generosity, they're going to be giving us today again, inshallah, for some of our listeners. So we'll see. I think, Hafiz Hanzala, you're not going to get anything because this is only for listeners and not for staff. Alhamdulillah. Don't look at me with big eyes here. Alhamdulillah. But as we said, Malaysia. So we're talking on just briefly Malaysia itself. Now you're telling me, before the news, you mentioned that Malaysia is doing cruises. That must be something amazing, huh?
Yeah, actually, from what I read, I'm just talking from my mind now. I think it was the Queen Mary 2 or something like that. I can't remember really what it was. MSC Cruises.
MSC, yeah.
They're actually operating from Singapore going up to Kuala Lumpur, which is Port Dickson. From there, they're going to Penang.
Yeah.
And then from there, they're branching off to Colombo, down to Mauritius, and then to Portuguese Islands, and then Cape Town. I saw this package actually advertised in the Star newspaper. I think it was last week or something.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's actually taking on quite well, because I did get a few calls in the office last week regarding these packages, and the people asked me what they could do in the space of time that they will be in Malaysia. So the demand is there, it's climbing, the interest is there as well. Over the last few months, we noticed that although the tourism is actually stagnant for now, but in terms of tourism receipts,
yeah,
it's actually gone up. So in fact, we're not looking at actually the quantity of people now coming in. Now we're looking at the quality of arrivals into Malaysia.
Is it? And if and lots of people, from my experience now, are looking towards cruises also. And if you're having cruises around that region, from South Africa to Malaysia, or from Malaysia back to South Africa, however it may be, that must be an amazing cruise. I can only imagine, because now you've got the best of both worlds. You've got your cruise and you've got your land in Malaysia, Singapore, whatever it is. That must be lovely, huh?
Yes, that's right. Obviously, Malaysia is the top five. Actually, it's the top four best shopping destination in the world.
Yes.
So to stop over in KL and do your shopping there, is an amazing feat to get them to stop over there. You'll almost probably have around 3 days break in Kuala Lumpur itself, and then after that, once they finish with all their shopping, which I think 3 days is ample time to empty out your husband's credit card account.
Talking of that, Henda, when we were in Malaysia now and they had the shopping festival, as a group we had to take your credit cards away, we had to keep your cards away with us, because you like went crazy when you saw the pricing in Malaysia, eh?
Whenever you go to Malaysia, you just send your husband to the crash.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got your card and his card.
Yeah.
And it's just about shopping.
When it comes to shopping festival, Malaysia really go out of their way. And they do give proper promotions and proper specials, eh?
Yes, they do. And remember Jamil, even Mohammed?
Yeah.
Jimmy Choo with his shoes.
Yes. I know, because when we were there, we had to please, Henda, your credit card is going to burn you. Please, man, stop it, man. It was just too much. But the prices, talking of that, Jamil, the pricing from other destinations that I've got my experiences with, when it comes to shopping festivals, the prices go up and they give you the discount. But Malaysia, you get the actual discount from the tagged price, huh?
Yeah, okay. What happens normally is, from previous experience, I've been all over the shopping malls and things in Malaysia to look at the price comparisons. It's actually half the price of what we pay in South Africa.
When they have the promotion,
no? That is normal pricing, is half the price. And then when you're talking of sale periods, you get what they call up to 70% off during the year-end sale, which is mid-November to around the 3rd of January.
And that's factual?
And that's factual. You get 70% off. I was looking at price comparison. I was actually looking at they slash 70% off wallets, handbags. And I was standing there one day in KL in Sogo, and I could hear this lady from Durban. I could hear from the accent. She's like, oh, that's cheaper. Take it, take it. Okay, no problem. And then she and her daughter were just throwing handbags in a trolley. And I'm like, wow, you know. You don't see things like this in South Africa because it's so expensive. And yeah, they're going ballistic with the shopping.
No, it's a fact. We've seen it ourselves, so we're talking firsthand on that.
And it's not made in China.
Made in Malaysia. Lots of it made in Malaysia.
Made in Malaysia. Yes. It's all already from its respective countries, all those brands, Polo and
yes. No, that's good, man. That's now when you're having... Now, what happens with Malaysia, what I noticed is they have lots of these different festivals. Throughout the year, they have festivals. Like you had the Deepavali festival, then you have the Eid festival, then you have the shopping festival, then you have lots of different festivals. And with that, it really benefits the general public, huh?
Yeah, if you look at it, especially the mega sale carnival, which happens in June to August, and then the year-end sale, Malaysia tries to get the travel agents to package their packages according to these festivals, because at the end of the day, it's value for money for them. Your prices of goods is over 300 goods are already duty-free waived. So with that, you can buy whatever you want, from electronics, everything down to cosmetics. And everything is much cheaper than what you pay for at home.
Right, yeah. Now, when it comes to touring Malaysia, as I mentioned before the news, we tend to fly into Kuala Lumpur and we think that is Malaysia and that's the world of Malaysia. Malaysia, if you look on the map, Kuala Lumpur is not only Kuala Lumpur is not Malaysia. When you look at the map, Kuala Lumpur is like just not even a 20th of Malaysia. It's like very, very small. So there's so much to do when it comes to Malaysia. The tour that we did was we flew into Kuala Lumpur and we flew up to Kedah State. Now Kedah is right up north the Thailand border. And when we got to Kedah and we drove down back to Kuala Lumpur, the journey itself was a holiday.
Just from Penang.
Yes.
When we came back to Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
Driving through the Cameron Islands.
Yes.
The Belium Resort, Ipoh, all the way down to Kuala Lumpur. The scenery, the stops.
That's the reality, yeah?
Now, why do you want to fly from Kuala Lumpur to Penang, Penang to Langkawi, and miss all the beauty of the country?
Absolutely.
And there's all over the stops to buy the local food.
Yes.
For the prayer rooms for the Muslims.
Yes.
And everything is there for all the visitors.
Now, we do have a caller online who's just come or who's come back from a tour that did a similar tour from the last time that we had spoken, and that we mentioned of this particular tour, and I believe they did exactly the same tour.
Exactly.
And we have Brother Ibrahim on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello,
can you hear me?
Ji,
Jazakallah for joining us and sharing some of your experiences about...
No, I think you got a wrong call.
Was it a wrong one? Okay, no, we've had Brother Ibrahim. Okay, not a problem. Ji, brother, you want to mention?
I got a question with Malaysia Airlines.
Ji.
For disabled person who travels on that, I take one of the tours, is there facilities which can assist and is there any discount on the air tickets?
Actually, for a person traveling, a disabled person traveling, we're actually the tourism board, but I'll give you a bit of a background on how the airlines work. The airline should have no problem assisting disabled passengers. They'll assist you with the PAU, which is a passenger assistance unit, and things like that. However, the airfare will be exactly the same as a normal standard adult airfare. It's not going to change at all. In terms of ground arrangements, they can make arrangements for disabled as well.
Okay, and even the accommodation, hotels and all that, they got quite a bit of facilities there.
Yes, all the hotels have facilities for disabled persons, and that's not a problem.
Is that, brother, when it comes to this disability facilities, when it comes to lots of parts of the world, besides South Africa, I would say lots of other parts of the world, especially Malaysia, they really take care of disability. You have your wheelchairs, you have prams. They really, even the shopping centers, they make sure they cater for all that. Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
I know some kind like Japan, and I'm my disability is visual right. Impaired.
Yes.
So there in Japan, they got Braille. You know.
In the lifts also, you'll find that in Malaysia, yes. If you're talking Braille,
yeah.
Henda, when I think most of the places has got Braille, huh?
Yes,
we've seen it. That's definite. That I'm talking of personal experience now.
Oh, super! Now then it will be. I'm sure it will be.
It will be very nice. Alhamdulillah.
Shazakum.
You want to hold on, Hafiz Anza? I will take your details down. I see Brother Jamil has just indicated that he'd like to give you something from Tourism Malaysia. For your call, Alhamdulillah. So just hold on, Hafiz Anzala, I will take your details and let's see if we can make arrangements to give you something from Tourism Malaysia, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Some promotional products or something, inshallah. Jazakallah for that. And we do have another caller also, Brother Ibrahim online. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah for joining us on the Sunday morning, Brother. Jazakallah. I really appreciate it. I believe you did a similar trip to the one that we did and we had spoken of the last time. The one from Kuala Lumpur right up to Kedah, Penang and back down, going into the rainforest and so on.
That's correct. Our journey started off in Kuala Lumpur.
Gee.
And we spent about 3 nights in KL.
Right.
And from there, we traveled through to the Cameron Highlands. We stayed over there as well.
Right.
And
but that was by road or you did a...
We did it all by road.
All by road. Yes. So that must have been an amazing journey, yeah?
It was indeed. You actually experienced the beauty of the country itself.
With all the forestry. Now, that's what you don't see normally when you're doing flight arrangements. And all this, what you're just talking about, is the beauty that you see. And that is amazing. Eh?
Exactly. It's actually quite lush. And all around you, only see greenery.
Beautiful, huh?
So, obviously, if you're a scenic lover, that's a beautiful drive to do. And,
You said you went up from Kuala Lumpur, but you broke your journey up in between?
We did. We stayed over one night in Cameron Highlands.
Right.
And yeah, it was actually very nice because like you mentioned, you actually witness the beauty of the town.
Right.
And you drive through the greenery and all the forestry, etc.
Yeah.
And the route to Cameron Highlands itself is so beautiful. I mean, there was one stretch that we did, and it's a 50-kilometer drive.
Uh-huh.
But within the 50 kilometers, you go through about 356 bends.
Oh.
And
so you got one truck in front of you, you're probably sitting there forever. Is it like that?
The roads are extremely narrow.
Okay.
And there's some parts of the road that are so narrow that when you're approaching the bend, you got a hoot. You've got to press the hooter to inform other vehicles that there's a car coming through.
That must have been interesting for you, huh?
And when you look down, you just see trees. You don't see a road. You don't see nothing.
Yeah.
You're only seeing forestry around you and all the fruit farms, etc. And then in the Cameron Highlands, we also visited the tea plantations. What was nice about that, we had freshly brewed tea in the plantations.
Talking of that, when there's something which I learned in Malaysia now when I went, they talk of a tea called tetari tea. They call it tetari tea.
Yes.
Now, this particular tea is called pul tea, P-U-L-L, pul tea. Now, what they do is they take 2 cups. The way they make the tea is they boil the water, they boil the water and the milk separately. They take that particular tea leaves and they put it into the mug on the one side. And they start pouring from one to the other, but from a distance of at least 0.5 meter, they pour into another cup.
Yes.
And they pour back and forth for about 10-15 minutes. They warm that tea up and they give it to you, and that is that is now lovely tea, eh?
That's correct. And then also the plantations that we visited was the BOH plantations.
Okay.
And they are the original British-owned tea plantations.
Yes.
The view of those plantations itself is just amazing.
So you stopped over there to do the tour in those plantations?
That's correct. And then also the tour on the harvesting of the tea itself.
All right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it was quite beautiful.
So it's something to learn from, eh?
A lot.
All right.
And then we also witnessed, I don't know if you're aware, they do the sweeping of bamboo.
Yes. Yeah. We've seen that, yeah.
So that itself was nice. It's this old Chinese woman.
Yes.
And in fact, they are the only manufacturers of these baskets.
Right, and they sit and you see how they weave it. They sit folded on the floor.
Yes.
And they sit and weave those things beautifully.
All by hand, eh?
Yeah. And it comes out amazing, amazingly beautiful.
Definitely. And then from there, we continued our journey. Well, like I said, we stayed over in the Cameron Highlands.
Yeah.
The hotel was beautifully located within the valley of the mountain.
Right.
So the scenery there, the sunset, the sunrise was just amazing.
And also very jungle-like, huh?
Yes.
Right.
Definitely. And then from the Cameron Highlands, after checking out at the hotel, etc., the next day we then continued. We visited along the way. We visited the strawberry farms, the honey farms, etc.
Ah, okay. That's beautiful, huh?
Yeah,
that's beautiful. And you went, how long ago did you go now?
It was big. In fact, we went during March.
And what was the fruit season like? It was
fruit season. Well, I was fortunate enough to have the durian fruit.
Oh, wow.
Brave soul.
I hope you could burp properly in the plane, huh?
You know, in fact, many hotels don't allow the durian fruit in due to its smell.
Yes. In fact, lots of hotels have got signboards outside. Now, let me just explain to you. Durian is like, it's like a mango. It's got lots of pits inside. It's one of the most, I haven't eaten it
it's
myself,
like a jackfruit almost.
Yes. I haven't eaten it myself, though, but I hear that it's amazing. Now, why I haven't eaten it is, when you get the initial smell, it bombs you out.
The trick to it is,
Close your nose. But it bombs you out when you get the first smell of that fruit. It bombs you out, so you don't even want to go further than that.
But it's lovely.
That durian, eh? You've eaten it.
Yeah, it tastes.
Yes.
In fact, Henda had a dessert. Henda and a couple of other group members had a durian dessert,
yeah.
And they really enjoyed it. I made sure I don't even go close to it.
It's actually known as the king of fruits. So if you are in Malaysia, you should try it. Yeah. In fact, in Malaysia, they actually have durian tours for. It's mostly for the Chinese groups, but they have actually special tours for.
And after that, they give you a bottle of perfume or something.
No, but then it's banned. It's banned.
You can't take it out of the country. Yes.
Airlines.
You're not allowed to bring it through. Yeah.
Yes, and in the hotels, if you bring the fruit.
Yes.
You will pay for a room because with the smell.
The room stinks.
You cannot book any clients in that specific room.
So did you eat? Did you eat durian, Brother Ibrahim?
Yes, I did. I actually enjoyed it. Eh? It's what's very nice about the fruit is we were fortunate enough to have three different durians.
Oh, okay.
And each one has a unique taste.
Okay.
No two durians taste the same.
Right. And you know, when I look at, and if you're talking further up that way, they got bananas which are probably about 35, 40 centimeters long, huh?
Yes, we were fortunate enough to. We actually came through, we passed through a village,
yeah.
Which is known as the Village of Humankind.
Oh, okay.
And alongside, they've got their little stalls.
Yeah.
Where they're selling all these fruits.
And the best of mangoes.
The best of mangoes, of bananas. We bought some. Lovely. You know, it's just that you're eating freshly harvested fruits.
Yes, that's the advantage.
Yes.
Now, that's the advantage of, like you're telling me, you went up by road from Selangor, from Kuala Lumpur, right up to Kedah, right up to Penang.
Yes.
You went up by road. That is what you enjoy most is... The natural resources and also the fruits, and you enjoy that lifestyle of theirs.
Exactly, you actually see how the locals live because along the route you pass through the little towns.
Yes.
And like there was one town called Tapa.
Yeah.
And that town is actually known for the wealthy Chinese.
Ah, okay.
So they all live there while their children, the younger, go out to work into the city.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And then from there on, after passing through Cameron Highlands, we stopped over at the Belum Rainforest Resort.
Oh, that is
that
amazing.
That was amazing, eh?
The Belum, you know what? There, in fact, what I love most there was the hotel that they've got at the rainforest. Their meals, I think that was the most divine meals you'll ever have.
It was amazing. Hmm? I promise you. And the tour itself.
That's beautiful. That is
amazing. We hiked through the trails and went in search of the Rafflesia using a speedboat through the lakes and
from up top there.
Yes, and I got to mention.
Tell me about the leeches.
Home of the Malayan tiger. Eh?
Is it?
Yes.
And you got to witness. You got to see them.
Unfortunately, not.
Yeah.
In fact, 2 weeks prior to that, our tour guide by the name of Opie. he mentioned to us that they witnessed the tiger swimming through the through the lake.
Right.
So for, unfortunately, we weren't fortunate enough to witness that.
Oh! I can imagine how beautiful that must be. Huh?
Yes. In fact, I was actually I'm just waiting for a discovery documentary.
Yeah.
The general manager of the Pelham Rand Resort is forwarding me the documentary.
Oh, okay.
Maybe what I could do.
Please share that with us.
Yes, what I'll do, I'll forward it through to you.
If you don't mind, please. If you don't mind, that'll be nice.
And to me, please, Mr. Yaslat.
I'll definitely do that, Inna.
Thank you so much.
And, that must be amazing.
Yeah. So the Pelham Rand Resort was something out of this world.
How long, how many days did you spend in Pelham?
We spent two nights.
Two nights in Pelham? Nice. Huh? Those rooms, I must tell you, those rooms are not five star, but it fits the area, it fits the forest, the
exactly
way the rooms are designed.
And if you took note of the shower itself,
yeah,
it's almost a glass shower overlooking the gardens.
Yes. Beautiful. That is beautiful. The way it's designed, it's unique. Huh?
Yes,
it's unique.
Very, very unique. In fact, the one night I remember I took a walk out into the forest.
Yeah.
And the sounds, I'm very adventurous. Eh?
Right.
So, and you know, the sounds that you hear is on the one, your one side is scary, and on the other side is I want to go and see what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Ibrahim, I think it sounds like your next trip to Malaysia, you need to come with me to Sabah, because I think I need to show you what adventure you can have in Sabah.
No, but then, from Pelham, you stayed 2 days, and you went further up then?
Yeah, further up, we then went to Penang.
Ah,
we
okay.
took a ferry to Penang.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay, yes, into Georgetown.
Into Georgetown, that's correct.
Right.
Yes. Georgetown itself was quite nice. We stayed over at the G Hotel, beautiful location.
Oh, beautiful, huh?
In fact, all of our hotels were very well located.
The only problem with G Hotel is you don't have a beach directly across G Hotel, although you got the ocean there, but you cannot swim in front of the G Hotel.
That's correct.
You got to go further up on your eastern side.
Yes, but on the brighter side, then you've got your malls and things.
Yes, that's what you have.
And
it's,
you know,
it's a town
markets and
absolutely.
Yes.
And then they have that night market just near the G Hotel. They have a night market there
as well. The night market
for the locals, huh?
For the locals, is it?
Yes.
That market was quite nice.
And all the
they've
food.
Got like these rickshaws. I don't know if you took note of that. It's like, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Durban rickshaws.
Yes,
these are their type of rickshaws.
Right.
Quite uniquely built, you know, with lights and.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, yes.
They play music along the road.
Right. Yes, they all on the, along the coast as you're going down.
Yes.
That's beautiful. So how many days you spent in Penang?
We spent three nights in Penang.
Oh, that must have been nice, huh?
It was, eh?
And the G Hotel, I think that's a 7-star hotel, I would call it.
It was amazing.
That's a beautiful hotel.
I didn't want to leave that hotel. The service they provided was absolutely
And not expensive at all, huh? Not expensive
at all. The price is not bad, eh?
Yeah.
And the
not
breakfast,
bad.
Mr. Yassat?
The breakfast. Amongst the best.
No, that's absolutely, that's you know, I tell you, we were taken aback with the hospitality also. And we were taken aback that when you just get to the hotel, as you walk into the hotel, they come with bowls of ice cream for you.
That's correct.
Huh?
And you sit on those funky chairs.
Oh, wow, I tell you, those fancy chairs.
I actually stayed up on the G Hotel during my stay, and those chairs are actually designer chairs, eh?
Oh, okay. All and the reception area inside of the hotel itself.
Yes, it's huge.
Yeah.
And the pool area itself is so beautiful.
Beautiful. That pool area on the second, third floor, fourth floor.
That's where we had modeling.
Yes. And you overlook the city from the pool area.
From the pool area. That's
beautiful.
Correct.
That was beautiful. So then you went up to Penang, and from there then?
Penang, we visited many of the Buddhist temples, and there was quite a lot to do there as well.
Right.
We also did a full tour of the town.
Right,
of Penang.
Okay, yeah.
It's quite a huge town,
yes,
being an island. There's a lot to do, and yeah, the tour itself took an entire day.
Okay.
And then from there on, our next leg was the Langkawi.
Oh, from there you went up to Langkawi.
From there we went up to Langkawi. We also took a speedboat
from Penang to Langkawi.
Yes.
That must be that speedboat must have been a lovely trip.
It was, eh? And what's the best about that trip itself was as you entering the town of Langkawi,
yeah,
you know, the harbor area of Langkawi, you pass through, I would say, 100 different islands.
Ah, all those small islands,
little islands. It's full of forestry on it.
Are you a scuba diver?
Unfortunately you know.
Oh, you would have enjoyed it there. Because I was just talking to Brother Jamil while we were on our way here.
Right.
He says the visibility in that region is over 15, 20 meters. So you can imagine how beautiful that ocean is.
I can, yes.
So, you know, that's your, I think that's your next thing you should do. Is
jet skiing as well as the paragliding.
Oh. Actually, if you're traveling between Penang and Langkawi by boat, there's actually a stop over by the island called Pulau Paya, which is it's a nature reserve, a marine park. So actually, that's where they do the diving and snorkeling, and they've got shark feeding and things there as well. I did that trip once, but not all the way to Langkawi, just to Pulau Paya, where the boat carried on to Langkawi after that.
Yeah.
And I know the visibility in that water, even for just snorkelers and things, is amazing.
That must be nice. And you, how long you spent in Langkawi then?
Langkawi was also 3 nights.
Okay.
But what I did on that lake, we use it more as a relaxing holiday, because we've literally been out for the entire month. So what we did was
I envy you, I envy you, man.
No, it was actually a beautiful holiday. Our very first stop was Dubai, Abu Dhabi, etc. And then thereafter we did Malaysia, so we were quite exhausted towards the end. So we used Langkawi as a relaxing holiday, you know, island
absolutely,
holiday.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
our hotel in Langkawi was situated literally on the beach, and it was amongst one of the best beaches in Langkawi.
What was your weather like the time you went?
It was quite hot, eh?
That's in March.
Yeah, but what I also noticed, experience was KL itself.
Yeah.
You know, during our stay in KL, that was much more hot and humid.
It's very much humid in KL, yes.
When you're traveling out now towards, you know, through the Cameron Highlands, through Penang, Langkawi, etc. There it's hot, but it's much more, well, less humid, I would say.
Right, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Now, this tour that you undertook was, what happened was, let me explain to you how it all came about. Through the Malaysian embassy, they arranged this trip for us, this particular trip that you done, that you did here.
Right.
They arranged the trip with us, and we had one of their representatives, indirect representatives, also Henda Heineke. She's with us here in the studio, as you know. And we put this together on behalf of the embassy, and we arranged for whoever wants to go, they could use the same route to do that. And Henda is with us in the studio, so I've just got an SMS here asking me that how can they embark on the same tour, because it sounds so interesting, and I think you're making it sound more interesting also. So here's it, Salam, you speak about this tour from KL to Kedah State and back. Who offers this tour? Is it from Tourism Malaysia? How can I book this tour? When is the best time to do this tour? We are going to mention details also, because it's on behalf of the embassy also, and in conjunction with Heineke Tours. So we will give details of that for you, inshallah. But from there, you said from Langkawi, you flew back or you drove back again?
From Langkawi, we actually flew back. It was our last leg, so we flew back from there to KL and KL to Abu Dhabi and down.
And then out again.
Yes.
So in between, and just, you know, I want you to tell us about the small little village where you took sweets for those children.
I was actually about to...
Were you in tears?
That was, we actually visited two of those villages.
Is it?
One was along the way, in the Cameron Highlands. And it's alongside the road, alongside that narrow road that I told you about.
Yes.
And it's actually on the cliff of the mountain. And there's about approximately 13 huts,
yes,
all man-made.
Right.
And I would say there's about 30 residents. Occupants of those huts in total.
Children to old people.
Children to old people.
Yeah.
And these people are, you know, words cannot explain the way they live. Mm-hmm. They literally do not have electricity.
Yes.
They don't use tables. They don't use chairs.
Yes.
No mattresses. And, you know, they hunt their food.
The total native people, huh?
Yes. You know, it's humankind.
Explain to us how they hunt that food, because we tried it, and I tell you, we were just like, I was taken aback with it.
You
explain
know,
to
about
us.
Hunting food,
yeah.
2 months back.
Yeah.
As well, so I met one of the residents there.
Yeah.
And 2 months back, he was hunting up a tree.
Yeah.
For food, and he fell down.
Yeah.
And he fell down, and he paralyzed his left side of his body.
Shame.
And up till today, that was 2 months later, when we visited the village, he continues living in that way, paralyzed.
Shame.
And he refuses to visit doctors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So he's permanently in pain.
Now, when they're shooting the birds, or when they're shooting ducks and so on for to eat,
yes,
that
it's a skill.
It's
a little. Did you try that?
No, I didn't try that, but they did mention it to me.
We tried it, and you know what? We targeted. In fact, Henda was the one that got the bullseye on there. Now, let me explain to you how that works. There's a pipe. It's a long pipe.
Blowpipe.
It's a blowpipe. Okay. On the one end, they've got a. It's like a dart with a big head that fits exactly into that blowpipe. So they push it in from the back, and you must put it. You put it in your mouth, and you target. It's a long pipe of about 3 meters or 2.5 meters, I think. And you target wherever the bird is sitting. You target that bird the way you're looking at that bird, and you just blow into the pipe, but you blow very hard, and then. That the dart flies out of the pipe and hits the bird. But they are so accurate with that. And that they allowed us to do the same. And that, I said, no, man. This is now true skill. Huh? And Henda, she was fortunate enough, they put like a dartboard in front of her, and she targeted bullseye on that.
Are you sure you're South African? And,
that was amazing. And that's how they feed themselves when they get food.
Yeah, they actually hunt honey. Year out, you know, honey, birds,
yes.
And leaves, and yeah, it's just totally amazing. I was actually going to say, you know, money doesn't interest these people.
Absolutely not, yeah.
They are absolutely totally uneducated, and they don't love for this world, I would say.
And that was a lovely tour. And then in the rainforest, they've got another, in the rainforest, they've got the oud tree.
Yes.
And that oud tree, I think all the oud from there, lots of the oud from there goes to some prince or somebody in Saudi Arabia.
That's correct.
Yes, you managed to see that?
And also our tour guide also made us aware of one of these leaves that he uses when he enters the forest. So he puts this leaf in the palm of his hand and claps against the leaf.
Yeah.
And it makes this loud banging noise.
Oh, okay.
And that noise, of course, scares off any dangerous animals before you approach.
Ah, okay.
And then the other leaf he made us aware of was, he takes this leaf, he crushes it in his hand, and rubs it. And this is actually a disinfectant.
Ah, okay, so there's all like natural remedy in the forest.
They've got their own types of natural ways of, yeah.
On a trip like this, will you ever think of doing it again the way you did it now?
Most definitely.
Amazing, yeah?
Mr. Yasa?
I would highly recommend it to anyone.
And what did you experience in Kuala Lumpur, the KL Convention Center, the mosques?
Kuala Lumpur, I also enjoyed quite a lot. I must say the location of the hotel was just great.
The Pullman, you stayed in the Pullman Hotel?
I was at the Pullman.
Yeah.
And literally within walking distance is the Pavilion Shopping Center. There's the Lot 10, there's the Times Square. And then if you take a walk through the Sky Bridge, you can also access the Petronas Twin Towers, you know, the Surya KLCC Park, etc.
Yes.
So all that was within walking distance, which made it very, very convenient for us.
And the Pullman Hotel also beautiful, eh?
Also stunning.
Beautiful hotel.
Stunning.
And
in KL, also what I would recommend is the City Gallery.
Yeah.
The City Gallery actually takes you
through
a full tour of the upcoming of Malaysia.
Ah, okay.
And the future of Malaysia as well.
All right.
And they are, of course, planning on skyscrapers to beat the Burj.
And they've got lots of plans and lots of construction in KL.
There's a lot happening. I can tell that country is growing from stage to stage.
Alhamdulillah. And the advantage is you get masjids all over wherever you're going. You've got a masjid to go to.
Along the roadside, a lot of masjids as well.
So salat,
very convenient.
Food also, they are very halal conscious. Huh?
That's correct, yes.
Very much so. No, alhamdulillah, I'm so glad you enjoyed that trip. And
I would highly recommend it.
And the same trip that you did, we did the same thing. You probably did a little more because you spent more time than us.
Yes.
So you did a little more than us. But alhamdulillah, that was a beautiful trip. And I would recommend it just to
What I would
anybody.
Also recommend is adding Thailand to that trip.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You'll obviously need more time.
Right.
But the reason I'm saying so is like when you get to Pelham Rainforest, you're literally on the border of Thailand.
Yes, right up north.
When you got to the speedboat, you know, doing the tour in the rainforest, there was an area where we needed permits.
Yes, I remember that one. Yeah.
To enter the waters of Thailand.
Of Thailand, yes.
So, of course, if someone has more time, they could spend some time in Thailand as well.
The southern part of Thailand. Northern part of Malaysia. In the northern part of Malaysia. Yeah. Yes, that's where you were.
Mr. Yasat, you've got my number, so you know where to get hold of me.
No, that's beautiful, Brother Ibrahim. Jazakallah for that. Just hold on, Hafiz Anzara, I will take your number down. Brother Jamil wants to hand something over to you, so inshallah what we'll do is we'll get it down to the studio. And or we'll make arrangements with you.
Okay.
And it's a gift from Malaysia Tourism.
Okay.
Jazakallah for that. Hafiz Anzala will take your details on. Jazakallah for calling in and talking to us about your experience. Jazakallah, brother.
Thank you,
that was very, very nice. I do have an SMS that came here now. It says, Salam Muhammad, a good program. Please advise on some islands besides Langkawi, Penang, Kota Kinabalu. Kota Kinabalu is absolutely amazing. It's the most beautiful island that I've been to, so they've been there already. But would like to visit different islands now, Shukran. So, any other besides... You see, we are so stereotyped. When it comes to certain countries of the world that we go to, we are very stereotyped. Like now, Brother Ibrahim has just mentioned, and that what he had mentioned, which we did, the tour that we did, is something which is unique. And I don't think anybody just embarks on a journey like that. And when you bring about this journey and you say, do this, people then realize what the beauty is. So is there any other place? You're talking of Sabah and Sarawak
and
so on.
Brother Muhammad, let me explain something to you. And I think everybody should be aware of this, that if an island is easy to get to, it's not an island to go to. The reason being is, if it's easily accessible via flights and things, it's going to be very commercialized.
Yes.
You're going to get a lot of people going there.
All right.
So you're going to have to do some work to get to those islands that you want to go to. Maybe spend some money, but at the end of the day, you will get exactly what you're looking for, the seclusion that
true.
You need. Yeah?
True, absolutely true, yeah.
You can go and do your own.
In fact, Henda is just pointing out here on the map that she's got
Parentian,
on the table here.
Parentian Islands.
Yes.
But it's very, very weather concerned. So between the end of September,
that leads us to this question that just came in now on SMS on 0727865520. It says, Salams, what is the best time to visit Malaysia, and is English widely spoken in Malaysia?
English is the second language in Malaysia,
yes.
So you won't have any
absolutely
any communication breakdown there.
Yeah.
In terms of weather and things, just to explain to you, from around the end of September to around the beginning of March, the east coast of Peninsula Malaysia, those are the islands on the east coast of Malaysia itself that you don't travel to because of monsoon weather.
Yes.
But monsoon weather, what it is, it's more like Durban's choppy seas. That's what it's like.
Right.
So basically, people don't. It is a bit more rainier during that time, but it's obviously difficult to say now because of the world's weather patterns. It's difficult to say now what's going to happen on that side of Malaysia. But it is normally rainy and things like that. But to give you the two sides of Malaysia, as I explained to you earlier, Brother Muhammad, the west coast of Peninsula Malaysia, where Langkawi and that is, it's got emerald green waters. Whereas if you go to the east side of Malaysia and in Redang, Parentian, and things like that, you've got blue waters.
Ah,
so that's the two sides of Malaysia. If you're looking at, for example, people go to islands more for like the snorkeling and then the island beach life, but a lot of people go there for the diving, especially South Africans. South Africans love their diving, and that's where you go to Redang and Parentian on the east coast. If you want to be a little bit more adventurous, you can fly down into Singapore, drive through Johor, and then you get to a place called Mersing.
Yes.
Mersing is where you take a boat to go to the Pulau Siwu Islands as well. Like I said, it's a bit more difficult to get to, it's a bit more work involved, but at the end of the day, you're going to get exactly what you're looking for.
Absolutely. And I think you should do your homework before you go. Like I think what Brother Ibrahim and family did, they did their homework with you before they left from here. So they really, really were in, they knew what they were going into. And obviously they got more than what they bargained for because of the beauty that they didn't expect to get on that side.
Yeah, they came to visit me.
Yes.
And I sat down with them and I consult with them.
Yes.
So I'm there.
On a personal basis, yeah.
I'm 24/7 there for the clients. So,
And they thoroughly enjoyed it. I've spoken to them. They, like you can hear from what he's saying now, they've really had a good time. and that's what we want. That's why we're here now, is to let people know and people have a good time wherever they're going. They got to have the best of times and enjoy what they're doing most.
Yes, it's not just about the beaches, but
yes.
It's about the whole country and the cultural side.
Absolutely
the food,
true.
The scenery, so...
Like I always say, traveling is a university, so let it not just be one subject.
Yes.
Let it be an array of subjects. There'll be a whole lot of subjects together. So you've got, like he mentioned, Brother Ibrahim mentioned, he had that experience with the natives of Malaysia.
Yeah.
Now something like that, it opens your eyes, it opens your mind, it makes you wonder, you know, how do people live in this world?
And your mountains, Mount Kinabalu,
yes.
I mean, it's Sarawak,
yes,
Borneo. It's just not about beaches. It's about the whole Malaysia.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And if costing is going to come into it, and you feel a bit reluctant, it's expensive to travel, let me reassure you that Malaysia is still one of the most affordable destinations, international destinations,
from South
African rand.
Yes.
To travel to, definitely.
So then, you know, it's something which is amazing, you know, and also, it's a trip which you should. I'm, you know, from my knowledge and from my experience, a trip like this should be embarked, but you must be ready for it, ready to go into the remotes of the country.
That's right, yes,
yeah?
Definitely.
So, like this now, I think Tourism Malaysia, together with Henda, has put up something together for the listeners, and especially like now, they're preparing for Radio Islam listeners to get together, make it a totally like a Muslim group going together. And when do you plan your next trip like this now?
Okay, I've got a group that's leaving on for Malaysia, specific for Radio Islam Mohammed.
Okay.
And a lot of people ask me now, is Mohammed going with?
I go to ask Tourism Malaysia for that. Huh?
No, you need to ask your wife for that.
So the people also want you to go with Mohammed because you experienced the same with us.
Yes.
So, yes, there's a group that's leaving. We've got a set group leaving on the 10th of December.
Ah, okay. That'll be nice.
So, exactly the same route as that Mr. Yassat and his family went.
Yes.
But we also add Kedah on.
Ah,
do you remember Alistair Starr?
Yes. So, Alistair. Yeah.
So, we just add that. There's two nights in Alistair.
Yeah, okay.
So that they can.
Alistair is a city in Kedah State.
That is correct, yes. So we also add that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we will ask, remember the tourism minister?
Yes, so we met with the tourism minister also. Yes,
I would, if we can ask him to
present also, or something, yeah.
Yes, to meet the group.
Yes, that'll be lovely. Yeah.
And so flying from Johannesburg on Emirates, Dubai, to Kuala Lumpur, into Kedah, Alistair.
And drive down back again.
And then the same, remember when we come back Penang, through the Billiam Resort.
Downwards, yeah.
Cameron Island.
Yes.
Coming back to Kuala Lumpur.
Like unlike what Brother Ibrahim and MG, they went up to the top and then they came, they drove up and flew down.
Yes.
This is the other way around.
Just the other
and
way.
I see you want to give.
And then also for the two on the same group, we would like to offer, if you book in advance, two members, will then be able to get their land free. So if you book in advance, so they only pay their tickets, and the whole package
will be free for them if they book in advance.
Yes.
Okay, so that'll be interesting. Huh? So okay.
The whole package is 24,995 rand.
Yes.
Leaving on the 10th of December.
Yeah.
And it's a 9-night package that you sleep.
Yeah.
And it's exactly Kuala Lumpur. Then 3 nights in Kuala Lumpur, 2 nights in Alistair, 2 nights Billiam Resort.
Can I ask you one big favor? I know you're in a hurry. Can you wait for us 5 minutes after the news? We'll just continue with it.
No problem.
5 minutes just to brief our listeners on that, and then you can go.
Okay.
Just thank 5 minutes you. After the news. We'll continue right after the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. Today we're talking Malaysia. We're having a good time in the studio. Alhamdulillah, we're on extended time with the generosity of Radio Islam. Alhamdulillah, we've got extra time. We're talking about Malaysia and the experiences from listeners also. And alhamdulillah, there's been some giveaways from Tourism Malaysia. For the listeners, we've already got two names here that called in. If there's any, we've had some other callers. While we had Brother Ibrahim online, we had other callers. If you want to call back, unfortunately, you couldn't wait so long. But if you want to call back, you're most welcome. The lines are open on 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548. Call in. You can discuss. If you share some of your experiences with us, it will be lovely. We can listen to what you have to say. If you have been, if you've been to Malaysia already and had a tour similar to what we're discussing, or whichever place you went to in Malaysia, it would be nice to share your experiences and something we can learn from you also. So if you would like to call in, you may do on 011-854-1548 or our SMS line, as always, 072-786-5520. That's 072-786-5520. I've got here, could you please give out contact numbers for your guests? I will do so shortly. We do have the guests from Tourism Malaysia, which is part of the Malaysian High Commission, and we're discussing about Malaysia, as we mentioned. And we also have a representative who is working in conjunction with Tourism Malaysia and who's offering us deals. And as we heard before the news, Henda just offered us a deal on behalf of with Tourism Malaysia. A deal, I think, you know, it should be grabbed with two hands. As you mentioned, it's a deal for 24,990 rands, and we're looking at the full tour, 9-day package, and you're offering the first or the early bird, I would say. Come in and give us the details again.
Okay, the tour will depart on the 10th of December. It's a 10-day, 9-nights package. That will be, we will visit the Kuala Lumpur at the Pullman Hotel.
Yes.
We will stay 2 nights at the Grand Laura, Alistair Star in Kedah.
Yes.
We will stay 2 nights at the Billium Resort, 1 night at Cameron Islands,
right.
And then 2 nights at the G Hotel.
Yes.
All transfers, all the sightseeing tours that we did, Mohammed, with yes. Malaysia Tourism.
Yes.
That's included. Plus your breakfast.
Okay.
Plus your road transfers, plus your guides.
Right.
So in conjunction with Tourism Malaysia, we put this package together for only 24,995 rand per person, sharing in a room.
But you need a minimum of 25 people in the whole group.
25, the minimum of 25 people,
yeah.
Yes, sharing together at all time. And so two lucky listeners, a couple,
yes,
might be lucky to win their land arrangements if you book and pay your deposit before the 30th of June.
So that you're only paying your airline tickets, which is probably currently, I think, about 8 grand or something,
yes,
plus minus. Huh?
From Johannesburg, Dubai.
Yeah.
Dubai into Alistair.
Right.
Alistair.
Oh, you're flying directly into Alistair.
Remember,
into Kedah, yes.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, we're flying into Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, transit out,
and
yeah.
Then from there on,
yeah,
to Alistair.
All right.
And then road transfer back to Kuala Lumpur, and then back to Dubai, Johannesburg. So if there's some of the listeners who would like to stay behind in Dubai on the way back,
they can do that also.
Yes.
You'll make that arrangements for them.
Yes.
So if the...
But we have to travel in Malaysia, 25 people,
yes,
at all time. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, it sounds encouraging with the two. And I know if you're talking of giving the two listeners free from... For all the land arrangements, you're looking at a saving of what's probably about over 30,000 rand,
yes,
in total, yeah.
Yes, and then also Mama just mentioned that, you know, there will be, they can also consider some prize, maybe a suitcase or two.
From Tourism Malaysia.
Yes.
We will work on something.
We will work on something from Tourism Malaysia. You know what, we're twisting Tourism Malaysia's hands today because now we're coming towards Ramadan, and Tourism Malaysia should do something for our listeners and at least give something. So if you're going to give maybe, like Henda says, probably a bag or two or something with promotional items in there, that'll be lovely,
yeah,
also.
Yeah, we can sort out that. That's not a problem.
And
that,
just remember in Kuala Lumpur what we did, we went,
yeah,
to the mosque, we went to the KL Convention Center.
Yes.
There's all that is included because it's part of the sightseeing.
That lake we went to, I can't remember the name of that lake where we went to, and there was bungee jumping and there was all those rides and so on. What lake was that? And that was just out of Kuala Lumpur City.
The last day with the rain.
The first, yeah, it was the last day with the rain. There was rain there, then we couldn't do the bungee.
Oh, we went on that rocking boat.
Yes.
And
what was the name of that place? I remember. You know what? It slips my mind. Some sunshine or sunny something. I remember that. But is that going to be included there? To go to that place? No, that's not included.
No.
Okay, but it's just out of Kuala Lumpur. It's not far from Kuala Lumpur.
No. That I remember.
There was a bonus day we had.
Yes. So we were all wet.
Yes.
And from
there we went
to the airport back home.
Right, yeah. Okay, no. So that's understood, yeah. Okay, but
so
we'll look into that also then.
If we've got Mr. Mazaidi and Mr. Hafiz and all the people who will meet the group if we come in, what a pleasure.
We do have a caller who wants to talk to us here online. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
JazakAllah for the call, sister.
I just wanted to ask a question. Do you need a visa to go to Malaysia?
No, for Malaysia, South African passport holders don't need a visa for 3 months, 90 days.
Oh, so you don't need?
No.
Okay, JazakAllah.
JazakAllah for that.
Right.
JazakAllah. Okay, assalam. That's the advantage, you don't need a visa.
Just remember that children, the unabridged birth certificates, are still not.
They still hassle you for that, huh?
Yes, so please, if you've got children, make sure you've got your unabridged birth certificate.
Yes, right, so that's very important.
So even though they say they left it, but please.
It's still in place.
I believe, take your unabridged birth certificate with you.
That's important, okay. I see you rushing to go off from here now. Do you want to leave now or you want to still stick around with us? You're most welcome to stick around if you want to. You are in a hurry to go.
Yeah.
All right, not a problem.
So,
that's fine.
Thank you
very much for joining us. Your number, what I'll do is, there's some people that's asking an SMS for your numbers. For the Tourism Malaysia number is 011-268-0292. It's 011-268-0292. Or you can WhatsApp them on 082-715-3921. It's 082-715-3921. You can talk to them about that. Alternatively, you can get hold of Henda directly on 011-764-2783. It's 011-764-2783. Or you can WhatsApp her also on 083-25-666-82. That's 083-25-666-82. You can WhatsApp them directly on that also. Contact them. See if you can do something with them. It will be a lovely trip. I know it's a beautiful trip from Tourism Malaysia, and you'll really enjoy it because Tourism Malaysia put this trip together themselves, and they offered it, and it was an amazing trip. So you won't look back. You will really enjoy it. So you can do that on 011-268-0292. That's Tourism Malaysia, or Henda on 011-764-2783. You can contact them.
And then also don't forget about Georgia. There's so much. Azerbaijan, Baku.
Yes.
There's a lot to do for.
You've just come back from there, so you.
It's amazing. Yes. It's the most beautiful country, most friendly country. Azerbaijan, Baku.
Yes.
So
beautiful, huh?
Beautiful. And also, as I mentioned, my partner, my husband, is coming back tomorrow morning from Jakarta.
Yes. Okay.
Also
beautiful, awesome, huh?
beautiful.
Yes.
And but
Malaysia.
Malaysia is still
the best.
Yes, because you can visit Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Thailand on the same airline.
Yes.
And
that's the advantage.
You fly into Singapore, or you can do your trip in Malaysia. Go to Thailand by ferry from Langkawi. By train.
Yes.
And fly into Singapore, stay in Singapore, go to Malaysia, do your trip in Malaysia, end up in Langkawi, take the train to Thailand.
Yes.
So there's so many options.
Absolutely true. Absolutely.
So
you can have a good time, yeah?
Yes.
And value for money also.
And you don't need a visa for Singapore, you don't need a visa for Thailand.
And Malaysia, yes.
And Malaysia.
South African passport holders.
Yes.
That'll be great. So if anybody wants to contact us, also our SMS number 072-786-5520, you may contact me and I can pass on the details.
And then also, please, we very big on honeymoons.
Yes, okay.
So for honeymooners, the best beaches in Malaysia.
You can cover that also then.
Yes.
Definitely, we'll do that. Thank you very much for joining us on
this
lovely Sunday morning.
Thank you for having me on the radio.
I told you it's going to be till 10:30. We're already almost 11:30, but thank you very much for staying on with us here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and have a lovely day.
You too. Enjoy.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Henda Heineke, who's joined with Tourism Malaysia and doing this whole thing, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. So it's a lovely trip that was done there, alhamdulillah. So Brother Jamil, we'll continue for a short while before we can knock off and carry on from here, because you know what, when we start talking on, there's one thing I always say, when you get behind the microphone, it's like suffering from verbal diarrhea.
Never mind, you can't stop talking in the car. So
we just continue with this whole journey of Malaysia. Now, like we mentioned also, that many people find, they're like stereotyped. Any part of the world you'd find, people are stereotyped. They don't do the exploration of the country itself. Go explore, go check the ins and outs of the country. And this particular trip, from what we heard from Brother Ibrahim also, who's done this trip, you really go deep into the country and visit the ins and outs of the country. Now you've got other places, as we read on the SMS line also, they'd like to know of other places in Malaysia, more than the stereotype places.
Okay, from a South African perspective, we've got a lot of students and things that travel a lot to Malaysia as well. So, being students, we all know that they quite active.
Yeah.
You can say hyperactive.
Yes.
They go into the city and they don't sit still. So, those type of people like to go outdoors.
Right, yes.
And nature, I think in Malaysia, especially in the Borneo side of Malaysia, is amongst the best in the world. Actually, the air in Borneo is also amongst the cleanest in the world. It's got a very rich oxygen content.
All right, okay.
So it's actually quite clean and clear and things. In terms of land and marine species of life and things, if you're doing diving and if you're doing land tours in Borneo, and that you get to see a whole lot. We've got a lot of reserves and nature reserves and things there that will prove that Malaysia is amongst the most richest in terms of diversity as well. Also, it's got the third best diving spots in the world, which South African divers claim to them is the best in the world from all the destinations they've been to diving as well.
Yeah.
So if we run across and we just look at Peninsula Malaysia and Borneo itself. A lot of people love to go to love to do the shopping.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you've got in a family, you've got this push and pull thing, because it's more the husband that loves to do the adventure and it's more the wife that likes to do the shopping. So basically, we can cater for both. That's not the issue.
Yes.
So what you do is you fly into Kuala Lumpur. From there, you've got Air Asia. If you're looking at booking an FIT package, for example, just on the spur of the moment, you want to go to Malaysia. Obviously, you don't need a visa, so you don't have to worry about that. You can just fly into KL. You can use what they call Air Asia. Air Asia is the biggest low-cost carrier in the world. In Asia.
Yes.
And from there, you can travel all over Far East Asia, including all the destinations within Malaysia. Very cheap. You're looking at around 200 rand, 250 rand one way from Kuala Lumpur to any part of Malaysia.
Cheap,
including airport taxes.
Right.
And I've just heard now that they're recently starting from October, they're going to start flying to Mauritius as well. That's the first contact in Africa that Asia will touch for now, and then hopefully we can in the future we try and see
come to South Africa again.
Yeah,
because the problem is, you see, with Malaysia, there's no direct flights going into Kuala Lumpur from Johannesburg. That is the problem. So at the moment, as you were mentioning in the beginning, Singapore Airlines are coming out with specials at the moment.
Yeah, Singapore Airlines is currently have a lot of specials of around 8,800 rand. I noticed over the past few months, also they're holding that fare. For flights into Singapore, into KL. So if you fly into Singapore and you use a sister carrier, Silk, into Kuala Lumpur. Additionally, if you don't want to do that, you can fly into Singapore itself and you can take a drive up to Kuala Lumpur. So the same drive that you guys did from KL up north, you guys can do it from Singapore up south,
Kuala
Lumpur itself.
So you're going via Johor and going up to the top then.
That's right. Yes, and if you contact a travel agent, they can book the flight into Singapore for you and back out of Singapore. Otherwise, if you're going to fly with carriers such as Emirates, you can fly into Singapore and fly out of Kuala from there.
Now, not so long ago, the president of Malacca came to South Africa, and we were fortunate enough to meet up with him. Malacca is also another place to visit?
Yeah, Malacca is more your history, cultural side of Malaysia.
Yes.
It's basically where the Cape and Dutch, Cape, sorry, the Dutch and Portuguese settlers settled in Malaysia, in that part of Malaysia. So it's got a lot of Portuguese influence,
yes.
Dutch influence. In fact, some
the
of
names
Malay
are also Portuguese names, some of the names, no?
Yes, yes, yes. And then some of, you know, those in the Malay dialect as well, a lot of the, some of the words are also to into Dutch, such as words like pisang and things like that. It's just
from Afrikaans.
Afrikaans, yeah. Yeah. And actually, Jan van Riebeck's wife, Frau Riebeck, was actually, Maria Riebeck, is actually buried in Malacca itself.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So there is a small shrine that you say that the gravestone was moved to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Although I contacted some people, but nobody got back to me on where in Cape Town it is.
Okay, so Malacca is also another place to go to. So if you're coming from down south Singapore, you're going up into Johor, that's, you know, you're passing Malacca and you're going up towards Kuala Lumpur, that's also another road trip you can do.
That's right, yes, you can do another road trip. Also, Malaysia is also one of the first countries to have Muslim divers. Actually, we've got an association for Muslim ladies who want to start diving.
Yeah.
So a lot of, you get a lot, they've got a massive following in Malaysia itself. There's a lot of divers that qualified from there. Actually, the first Muslim technical diver. Unfortunately, she had to go technical diving to do her training with a non-Muslim diver on that side there, a male, because there's no Muslim lady tech diver
on that side. Yeah.
So she had to do it. But she's actually the first in Malaysia to do that. And then once she does that, she'll start training other Muslim divers as well. So there is a dive operator in Santon that we normally work with that can do this as well. So if you guys want to go diving to Malaysia, you can give me a contact. I'll send you the contact details of a lady that does the training for Muslim lady divers here in South Africa.
All right, yeah.
In Johannesburg, and then she can take you to there.
Okay, I've got an SMS that's just come in. It says, Salam, Jazakallah for such an interesting program. Will someone with a slight disability be able to travel with the group? He needs to drink a lot of water constantly and uses the bathroom often. Now, that, I can tell you clearly that when it comes to traveling along that journey, along that route, there's lots of stops,
rest
I would say, rest stops. Huh? Lots of bathrooms and water facilities available right through, I think. That I've seen also. Lots of small little, within small villages, they have those, small little tuck shop kind of a thing. Which it is offered, so definitely that is quite. And also, if it is a group that's going, they definitely will cater for that.
Yeah, I think they just need to let the travel agent know of the frequency of the stops, so basically it doesn't hamper on the itinerary.
Yeah, so that it's got to be done, but it can be done. That's not a serious thing because, in fact, what happens is because it's got to be catered for when it comes to all the people that are going. They definitely carry water with them. And also they would stop along the way, stop for sceneries and so on. So that is fine, you know, that happens, so that is quite okay.
Yeah.
And you're traveling in a bus together, and I think the buses do have toilet facilities also.
Yes, a lot of them, yes.
Yeah, they're all luxury buses, so that is also, that's not a problem, that's quite okay. And that's beautiful then. So the main thing is now, from previous discussions that we've had with Tourism Malaysia, it was the last year and the year before and so on, we've always concentrated on flying into Kuala Lumpur, visiting Kuala Lumpur, flying up north, flying elsewhere. Now there's a whole different take on that, and I see Tourism Malaysia is also concentrating on the drive up there.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, you're looking at, you guys did the trip from Kuala Lumpur up to Kedah. Now you can do the drive up from Singapore itself.
Yes. Well,
if you want to, and if you've got time and things, you can actually do the drive up from Singapore up to Kedah as well, past KL.
Yes.
Obviously, what I suggest is you use KL as your last stop for the shopping part of it.
All right.
Especially if you're going during the shopping sale periods and things like that. Otherwise, you're going to be carrying all that weight with you around everywhere.
That brings me to another question. Malaysia has different festivals throughout the year.
That's right, yes.
You have the shopping festival, the Deepavali festival, the Eid festival. You have all these festivals.
Yes.
And that is, it's advantages to tourists that come in.
That's right.
Because they create it for the tourists. Where can we get a calendar of all these festivals that they have?
Okay, our 2016 calendar of events is available online on our website. It's malaysia.travel.com.
Yeah.
If you go to the normal website, tourism.gov.my, that's our official website.
That's the Tourism Malaysia. So it's
Tourism Malaysia. Tourism.gov.
TOURISM dot
gov.my. And then from there you got the link to
gov.my.
Yeah. From there you have the link to our normal website, Malaysia Travel.
Yeah, okay. You can pick up from there as to what the different
the calendar of events
are.
Is there. All the festivals, events, the shopping events, Formula One. Just for those people that are Formula One fanatics, Malaysia actually moved their Formula One schedule to October. And what it is, it's going to actually be spaced one weekend apart from the MotoGP. So basically, you can go for both events at the same time, the MotoGP and the Formula One, in the space of a week.
Oh, okay.
So that's actually one of the added advantages. So we've noticed if people are looking to book for those events, you have to do it quite quickly because of the idea that sparked interest of these two events so close to each other. The tickets really got sold out very, very fast. So
okay.
I can't guarantee anything on that.
Yes, that's
especially,
another thing, yeah.
Especially flights during that period is at peak already.
All right, yeah. And the city becomes vibrant at that time, right?
Yeah, yes. Vibrant, the traffic just also climbs up. But in terms of traffic, you don't really have to worry because our public transport infrastructure is amongst the best in the world.
Yes.
And amongst the most affordable. So for you to move from one end of KL to the next end of KL costs you around 5 rand.
Very cheap.
We've got three city buses that goes, it's called the Go KL bus. It moves from KLCC to the Chinatown to the Bukit Bintang area for all your shopping. So those are free buses that move around the city.
And the monorail also.
We've got the monorail, you've got the LRT, light rail transit, you've got the equivalent of the Howl train. Just much safer.
So our lines, in fact, we're going to be winding off shortly, but if there's anybody who wants to share some experiences or ask anything, our lines are open, 011-854-1548. And I think you have another one or two more gifts that you'd like to give away. But if there's nobody, then you know what? We'll pass it on to Hafiz. And the line, we'll pass it on to Mohamed Rawat. What a broad smile Angela gave there now.
But now that you mentioned it, I don't think they're going to be smiling anymore.
But more than that, you know, when it comes to wanting to do the trip, you know, you can always contact the embassy, the Tourism Malaysia office directly. And let's see if we can get together. Because the thing is, it's something which is different from the norm.
And yeah, it is.
The
yeah.
way you do it is very different.
Look, if you look at destinations like Kota Kinabalu, for example, from Johannesburg, if you're looking at getting a flight to Kota Kinabalu with the least amount of stops, you go to Singapore, for example. Singapore got a Silk Air flight into Kota Kinabalu. Otherwise, you use Cathay Pacific. Cathay Pacific flies 12 hours. If you're the type of person that likes to fly long haul,
yeah.
Cathay Pacific flies to Hong Kong, and then from there they've got direct flights into Kota Kinabalu as well.
Yeah.
And then Kota Kinabalu is actually basically a nature adventure paradise. You've got whitewater rafting, mountain climbing. Mount Kinabalu is 4,100 meters high.
Okay.
It's a two-day climb.
Right.
So it's actually quite a good opportunity for adrenaline junkies, you know, young athletes and things like that. We have what we call the climathon, where you've got people running up in like 3.5-4 hours. They run up the mountain.
Is it?
Yeah, 4.1 kilometers. So yeah, we've got those type of activities. You've got jungle trekking. You've got, like I said, the world's best diving spots there as
yes.
well. Just off the coast, the world's best diving spots is actually on the east of Malaysia in Sipadan.
Yeah.
Sipadan, Mabul, Kapalai. Those are the three top diving spots. Just to explain to your listeners what diving is like there, or the dive listeners at least. If you're a tech diver, it's actually the perfect opportunity. But for normal divers, it's also, if you've got open water advance, it's also quite good. Sipadan is what they call, there's no floor, actually, when you go diving. There's actually a reef wall.
That must be beautiful.
Yes, what it is,
I did one like that in Phuket.
Yes, yes.
Phuket just got a reef wall, but it goes a couple of hundred meters down.
Yes, Sipadan is about the same. It's got a 600-meter reef wall drop.
Oh,
and in this reef wall at around 25 meters, you've got, this is for tech divers now, you've got what they call a loggerhead turtle cave.
Yes.
Those loggerhead turtles are around 2.1 meters big. So you swim around with them.
That must be lovely, eh?
Yes, it's very, very nice. So if you're a tech diver, you can go in there as well.
Yeah.
We've got the guides and that they can take you inside there. So that's basically Sipadan, and then you've got schools of hammerhead sharks and things like that as well.
Beautiful. I can only imagine how lovely that must be. Eh?
It's amazing. And then obviously the visibility there is 20 plus meters.
Because of the depth that you have.
There's
no sand that's now coming up.
That's right, yes.
That must be really... Because when I did the one in Phuket, also as deep as that, the visibility is just stunning because there's no sand coming up from the bottom. and you just have clear visibility, and the distances are just amazing, beautiful.
You see, what we try and encourage people to do is, if they want to go diving to Sipadan, for example, to get a nitrox license, because that allows you to stay in the water a bit longer, or go at least a bit deeper.
Yeah.
If it increases your time in the water there.
Right.
And you get to see a bit more.
Because your average is about 45 to 50 minutes average.
Yeah, it's around 45 to 50 minutes. And there's nitrox, you're kicking there.
You go longer.
30 minutes more, depending on
your... That must be lovely, yeah?
Yeah, and obviously you can actually go deeper in that, so it's much better.
And come out fagged out from there then.
Oh yeah, definitely, you come out so tired.
That must be lovely. Now, I've got this question that came up here. There's a family of five that would like to go, but they want to go on their own. They don't want to go with a group of so many people. Okay, what you should do is the message that came through, you can contact Henda on 011-764-2783, or you can contact them on 083-25-6682. Just find out what's the situation of having the family of five alone going out. Inshallah, it can be done. It's nothing serious.
It can be done. It's not going to be done as a group booking, so the price might differ.
There may be a slight difference on price also, but it can be done. But it's five people, so it's...
And if you're going off-season, it's
also
might get a better rate also.
Better than the deal that's offered by Tourism Malaysia.
Yeah, difficult to say.
Depending on airlines, but like we said also, we're having this... Singapore Airlines coming in very cheap. They're starting to compete real well with other airlines from South Africa. I've seen that on a couple of other destinations also. So if you are booking, if anybody is booking also only airline or only airfares to other destinations, look at Singapore Airlines.
Yes, it's a direct flight. A direct flight that makes all the difference.
Yes, because if you're flying from Johannesburg, Singapore to Kuala Lumpur is another hour flight.
Yeah,
45 minutes to an hour. Yeah. So that's quite close. So you're not going from here to Abu Dhabi or Dubai 8-9 hours and from there another 8-9 hours back again.
That's right. Because if you fly into Singapore, that way if you're driving up to Kuala Lumpur, what you have is you got to stop over in Johor.
Yeah.
So you got Legoland, you got the Angry Birds theme park, you've got the Putri Harbour with the Hello Kitty town, Bob the Builder and all that stuff. There's theme parks there.
All right.
You can do a lot of shopping there. You've got what they call the Johor Premium Outlets, where we have this. They have the sale 25% to 65% off all branded goods year round.
Yeah,
and it's actually 25% to 65% off, as I mentioned earlier, off their prices there, which is already half of what we pay here. So you get things very, very cheap there. There's a lot of travel agents can be bear testament to that. It's very, very cheap to go to shopping there. In fact, if you go to Johor Premium Outlets, you'll notice a lot of Singaporeans there because they all come from Singapore into Malaysia to
do their shopping. Yeah,
yeah.
That's good. That's
and then from there, you just track up to Malacca and then Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, so there's lots of things to do. So it's not only, as we mentioned, and I'll repeat it over and over again, it's not, when you say Malaysia, Malaysia doesn't consist of Kuala Lumpur alone. Malaysia consists of much more than that. So look into that. Go out and explore. You will definitely not regret it, because there's so much to see, so much to do. Mm. And from personal experience, there's more to do when you do road trips. Much, much, much better than what you do when you're flying up.
For families, especially if one of the main attractions that's coming up now is the world's first Fox Studios theme park that's coming up at Genting Highlands in Kuala Lumpur, which is one-hour drive away.
Yeah.
So that's basically just under construction. It should be open by either the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Okay.
It should be open. It's opening up in phases.
All right.
So yeah, it'll be quite interesting because there's a lot of demand for something like that. We've got Universal Studios now in Singapore. You'll have Fox Studios now in Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur, yeah. And then also there's lots of masjids to visit. When you're going out, even wherever you're going in the whole of Malaysia, beautiful masjids. Also, when you're doing city tours, they would take you to those masjids. Massive, beautiful masjids.
Yes, the masjids are actually, for me, it's actually one of the first stops.
The architecture, the beauty of those masjids. Huh?
Yes, if you look at anything from the Blue Mosque to the National Mosque in Kuala Lumpur, they're not far from each other. It's amazing.
It's amazing of how the architecture is done in all those masjids.
The glass masjid in Terengganu and things like that. It's amazing. You can have a look at it online. You'll see everything there.
And we spoke everything about the whole country, but we haven't spoken about the Twin Towers. Before we finish up, Twin Towers is a must.
It's a must now. From the last 1.5 to 2 years ago now, they opened the top floor. It's the 86th floor.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's 88 stories high, but the 86th floor is now opened up to tourists as well. So you go on the deck, on the bottom deck of the sky bridge.
Yeah.
There's two levels to the sky bridge.
Yeah.
You can go on the bottom deck.
And then after that, they take you right to the top to do your viewing and things as well. So it is quite amazing.
I'm waiting for that bungee to be opened up on the bridge. They had it for a short while and they stopped it.
You can even do your... You can go.
They do base jumping also.
Yeah, actually, they do it off there and the KL Tower as well, which is just next to that. They do base jumping off there as well. So
for the adrenaline junkie, that's lovely to do also.
Yes.
And then you have lots of other in the city tours also. There's lots to do in the city. There's lots of city tour venues that you can go to.
Yeah, you see, what we try and promote is try not to use the transport so much. It's best to walk through the city, especially if you're staying in the Bukit Bintang.
Yeah.
It's best to walk through the city because that way you see everything. I mean, for example, you've got a lot of people that don't know about the IT mall in Bukit Bintang, which is the Loyat Plaza, which is six stories. Just
yes,
IT.
Yes.
And there's quite a lot of things you can get there. So if you the only time you'll be able to see things like this is if you walk around.
Yes, of
and
course.
You get to see all these new things. You might pick up something that I don't even know about if you walk there. You know, things that they're selling on the streets and different types of foods and things like that.
And very advanced with technology also.
Very, very,
very much advanced.
There's Wi-Fi almost everywhere, including those free buses. There's Wi-Fi there as well. So.
Yes. Okay. I think, you know, it's already 11:45. We should be winding up now. We've overstayed today in the studios, and I think we've covered up for the year already. Jazakallah, Brother Jamil. Jazakallah for joining us on the Sunday morning. Amen. And inshallah, if there's any other questions or anything, we'll definitely get listeners to contact you directly, however it is. If you're driving and you've got my SMS number, which is 072-786-5520, 072-786-5520, you may contact me. I'll pass on the details to you of Tourism Malaysia, and maybe they can assist you in going to Malaysia and having a fantastic time.
Sure.
And also, like I mentioned from time to time, and it's something which is a must. When you leave South Africa, leave behind everything else. If, like when it comes to food stuff and it's leave behind, but don't leave your Islam behind.
Yes, sir. You're Muslim
take your,
first. Before.
Take your deen with you. Go with your namaz. Go with your salah. Take it with you. Do not leave it in South Africa. That's of importance. And in Malaysia, you cannot stay without your Islam, because wherever you go, there's masjids. Wherever you travel, you hear the azan. And you will definitely make Salah with Jamal wherever you are, inshallah. That is Malaysia. That's what I like most of Malaysia also. There's Jamal Khanas all over the show. And Masjid, alhamdulillah. Brother Jamil, Jazakallah for joining us. We're supposed to have the CEO of Tourism Malaysia, but unfortunately they couldn't also make it for whatever reason. But inshallah, Allah make it easy. And whatever difficulty they're going through for now, even Allah make it easy for them and protect them also. And Jazakallah for joining us.
Okay,
that is Brother Jamil from Tourism Malaysia, and he's always been on our side, alhamdulillah, assisting us, and he's now just come here and they're giving some gifts to the listeners and to the callers that called in here, alhamdulillah. That will go on and we'll pass it on to them. We've got the details here and we pass it on, and Fizanzala, you're going to definitely get something here for sitting here and bearing and having patience with our Tourism Malaysia crew here. Inshallah, you will definitely get something. And at the moment where you've gone already, but if you're listening, you will definitely get something also. Jazakallah. And let's see, we're having, Ramadan is already next week. I wish everybody best in Ramadan, your preparations also. And your Taraweeh is also, inshallah, Allah make it easy for you. Allah give you the strength for the Taraweeh and for the Rozas. Though we have very short Rozas, Allah give you all the strength, inshallah. Allah make it easy for us all. And Allah protect us, and also Allah let us love and die with Iman. That's the most important thing. We are going to be having a last program next week, Sunday before Ramadan. We'll see. We haven't confirmed as to what we're going to be talking about next week, but we'll check during the week what it is all about. But we'll probably just wind down and prepare for Ramadan, and after Ramadan we'll continue with our programming as normal, inshallah. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.